Well, if we were honest, it seems like every time we turn on the television set or we get on Yahoo.com or MSN.com and turn the internet on or we read the newspaper, we listen to the radio stations, the talk around the water cooler is the concerns of the latest mortgage crisis or the concerns about retirement or whether our 401ks are going to be there. Now concerns around the three major auto industry groups and the bailout for them. And it just seems for past 3 or 4 months that there's been this dark cloud, this darkness of fear that has fallen over the nation and maybe fallen over the world. And maybe for some of us personally, fear has impacted us or it's been more prevalent in our life than it's been in a long, long time. And maybe tonight being Christmas, not only did we bring the parties and the presents and the packages and all the people and the relatives and the punch and the cards and the baking, but maybe we've brought a little bit more fear this time of year than we've probably experienced in a long, long time. What God wants us to hear tonight is that we've been given the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that Christ is the answer to our greatest fears. There is an incredible piece of Scripture that I think is going to be up on the screen in just a second from Isaiah. And that piece of Scripture says that unto us a child has been born, unto us a Savior has been given, and the government will rest on His shoulders, and that He is our wonderful Counselor, that He is our mighty God, that He is our everlasting Father, that He is our Prince of Peace. Sisters and brothers, those are words and promises that God gives to us in the form of a Savior in Jesus Christ that we can live on. And the prayer for us from Old Fort Church to you tonight is that God will allow us to see some of our fear, hopefully most of our fear, let's just say prayerfully all of our fear, turn to faith in our Savior Jesus Christ, because He is the answer to our greatest concerns and fears. Now, one of the things that I've discovered as I've re-examined the Christmas story scriptures all over again, and this is the cool part of the time of the year, is we get a chance to look at the manger and the shepherds and the wise men and Joseph and Mary all over again. And every year we get to pull that scripture out. Did you know that every single person that wound up at the manger that night experienced fear as a part of their journey? Some of them started with fear. Some of them experienced fear along the way. But every single one of them had fear as a part of their journey. And guess what happened by the time they met Christ in the manger that night? Every one of them had their fear turned to faith. Faith in a baby. Faith in a Savior for you and for me. So we're going to take a quick look at how Christ can impact our life. Here is the first gift that Jesus wants you to receive in this scripture. This Christmas, God wants you to receive the gift of a wonderful Counselor. And we light the first Advent candle in a reminder of that gift that God wants to give to us. Now, I'm going to share with you the story of Mary very quickly with you as a reminder of how God can be our wonderful Counselor. Now, if you remember the context of Mary and her story, the angel appears to her and says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Now, that's a pretty good and logical question. How is that possible? I know what I've done and what I've not done. God, how am I going to be able to do this? How is that possible? And so you can understand her concerns and her fears of a relatively unknown task that God's asking her to perform. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One, to be born, will be called the Son of God." Every single one of us, if we were posed with this concept from God, would probably respond in the same way, maybe even with a little bit more fear and intrepidation than she did. I mean, her concerns were valid. God, how in the world am I going to be able to do this? Not only have I never done something like this, but I've never heard in the history of humankind a virgin being able to give birth, let alone the fact that, oh, by the way, you want me to carry the Savior of the world, your Son, Holy God, in my life, and to give birth to Him because He's going to be the Savior of the world. This seems to be a relatively unknown concept for me, God. I'm struggling right here with this. Have you ever found yourself in life where you're staring down the barrel of the unknown? You don't know what's coming around the next corner. You've been given a task or responsibility. You have a struggle in your life, and you feel like you have no answers. You feel like you don't know where to turn. Because what we do in those times is we turn to ourselves, don't we? I mean, we look further inside of our hearts, further inside of our brains, and we make this decision. I'm going to be able to think my way out of this issue. I'm going to be able to worry my way out of this issue. I'm going to look to my own strength and abilities to be able to do this. And what happens? We look deep inside of our hearts and we look deep inside of our brains and discover that the cupboards are barer than we thought they might be. And we're left without answers. And a lot of times we feel lost and lonely. And that's exactly where Mary is. Now watch what God says to her in response. He says, I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit that will come upon you, and I'm going to give you power, the power of the Most High. And so this Christmas is a reminder that God got personal. You see, God got personal with you and with me. He didn't hang out up in heaven. He came down to this earth in the form of a child, in the form of a human being like you and like me, and walked this earth and eventually died on the cross for the salvation of our lives and the forgiveness of our sins. And so he reminds Mary here. He says, I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? I'm going to fill you with my presence. Now, if you've heard the term Emmanuel, that means God with us. Okay? But at Christmas time, we celebrate Jesus Christ, that Christ is in us, not just with us. You see, you can choose to invite God to enter your life. And God promises to send you the Spirit. And the Spirit will fill your life and offer you counsel. And He will go with you wherever you go. And you can lean on Him for direction. It's kind of like when you walk into Ace Hardware. And you go up and you got this plumbing project. And you know a little bit about what you're doing, but you're a little bit lost. You don't know exactly where all the products are. And you walk up to the desk and you ask, some of you are laughing because you don't know where any of the products are when you walk into these stores. Or you walk in like a deer with a headlight, deer in the headlights, right? I mean, and the attendant says, can I help you? Says, I got this plumbing project. Says, well, let me walk with you. You know those big box stores where you ask for something and they point down to this cavernous experience 20 aisles down, 35 rows over, that's where you're going to find the hex nut that you need, size 12. Yeah, thanks for all the help, you know. 50 minutes later, you find another attendant and they finally help you. You see, when you go to Ace Hardware, I used to work at Ace Hardware, that's why I'm plugging them, but you walk in there and they walk with you, don't they? I mean, they walk down the aisle, they take you exactly where you need, and not only do they show you what you need, what do? They say, what kind of project do you have? Well, here's how I would handle that. Why don't you turn this and twist that? Why don't you wrap this tape around that and you'll be good to go? Here's two more ways you could handle that if you needed to. You see, they walk with you and they go with you and they give you all the counsel you need for that project. That's what God promises us at Christmas time. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to live in you and with you. And I'm going to go where you need me. And then he says to Mary, I'm going to give you a higher power. I'm going to, what does he say? Overshadow you with power. Sisters and brothers, let's just be honest. We've been overshadowed in the last 4 months, but we've been overshadowed with something different, haven't we? We've been overshadowed in fear. And what God says to you and to me is to say, hey, I'm going to replace that. I'm going to give you power for a living. I'm going to give you so much power in your life that you've never experienced before on this earth that it will care for all of your concerns. So that's Mary's story, and she receives the gift of a wonderful counselor. Will you receive the gift of a wonderful counselor tonight? Here's the second gift that scripture in Isaiah talks to us about. God wants us to receive the gift of a mighty God, and we can experience that in our life as well if we choose to. And I want to share with you the quick story of Joseph and his experience. Now, Joseph was tied to Mary, and Mary was tied to Joseph. They journeyed together, and they had similar experiences. But as you receive the gift of the mighty God this Christmas, here's his story. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. That had to be an interesting experience. The fiancé, who you've never had relations with before, comes to you and says, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant, and I'm pregnant with the Son of God. That would be an interesting conversation. Joseph, her husband, did not want to expose her. Now understand, they use the term husband and wife here, but they are technically not married. At that time, those who were seriously courting one another were considered married. But technically and literally, they weren't in the way that you and I consider marriage today. But did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. That is basically to break up with her and cut things off. But after he considered this, the Lord appeared to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be what? Do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. They are in a tough, tough position. Even in today's world, in today's society, a child out of wedlock is a huge struggle. And a lot of folk look down on people that are dealing with that kind of issue. Imagine what it was like 2,000 years ago. Imagine the shame and the guilt and the frustrations that they would have carried. And his concern is for Mary. He doesn't want the world and society to look at her and say, she blew it, she failed, she messed up, she's a mistake waiting to happen. Add to the fact that later on in the story, we know that Caesar Augustus issues a decree and expects Joseph and Mary to go register themselves because they're taking a census, and they have to travel while she's pregnant. Ladies, you've been there, right? You don't take 200, 300, 400 mile journeys when you're about to give birth in 2 days, right? You stay home where the hospital is. She has to travel with Joseph, and guess what? This is how her husband provides for her, her future husband. He provides for her no hotel room when they get there, right? Because the story tells us that there's no room in the inn. And so where do they wind up? they wind up in a stable with horses and donkeys and camels, and Joseph probably feels like a donkey at that point in time. I mean, this whole situation just speaks of failure and fears of provision and how come I can't provide for my loved one and what's going on and what's happening here. But if you know this story and you hear these words, you discover very quickly that God was with them the whole way, and He provided them power that was greater than they could ever imagine, and He met every single one of their needs. So no matter how bad life looks for us, no matter how difficult our circumstances, no matter how bad we've blown it in life, God promises us that He will be our mighty God if we let Him. And His power can cover over the biggest iniquities, the biggest mess-ups and mistakes. And God can cover over all those blemishes. God will be there for you with His power for your weakest moments and for your greatest struggles. We have a mighty God. He gives us the power to work through all the things in this life. And you see, He uses all things for His good purposes. That's just because He's God. He can do that. And I like to say that's just how God rolls. I mean, God can take any circumstance, He can take any person, He can take any situation, and He can use it for the greater good of your life. And God can and will do that. He'll organize things around you. If He can provide a barn and a bed and people, don't forget who showed up that night to help Mary and Joseph out. There was wise men that showed up, shepherds that showed up, and the wise men, they came bearing some coin, didn't they? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Those are some pretty high dollar items in those times. So Mary and Joseph were well taken care of, and God showed up and provided for them in great, great ways. Thirdly, we want to receive the gift of an everlasting Father, of an everlasting Father. Now, if you're familiar with the story of the shepherds were said to be out in the field at night. You know, they were basically working the night shift. These shepherds were basically working class men and women, much like you and I are. They were ordinary, everyday citizens. One of the incredible things about the shepherd story for me, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but Christ didn't appear to the dignitaries of the day. Jesus didn't show up, or the angel of the Lord didn't show up to the king. He didn't show up to the religious scholars. He didn't show up to the people in Hollywood. Who did He show up to? Common, ordinary, everyday people. He showed up in the lives of people like you and like me, in the middle of our everyday, ordinary concerns and circumstances. And 9 times out of 10, our fears are grounded not in the huge disasters of life, but our fears are grounded in the everyday occurrences. Am I going to get the kids to school today? How am I going to pay for lunch? How are we going to make dinner? How are they going to blow it in school? Am I going to blow it as a parent? Is money going to be there this week in the checking account when I go there? Is my job going to be there when I go there next week? I mean, these shepherds probably had the very same concerns that you and I do. They were probably sitting around the campfire worried about their 401ks, talking about those things out loud and wondering what was going to happen. That's the story and the experience of the shepherds. Now here's what Jesus says to them, and I'm going to jump to the middle of the scripture in verse 10. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.' Why shouldn't you be afraid? Because I bring you what? Good news. I don't bring you bad news. I don't bring you lousy news. Listen, we've been hanging on bad news long enough for the last 4 months, haven't we? It's just about time that we turn our hearts to some good, good news. He says, 'I bring you good news of great joy, that there will be for all people today in the town of David a Savior who has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" He says, listen, I've got your future taken care of. You don't need to worry about your everyday concerns. You don't need to worry about whether you're going to have that job or whether enough money is going to be there. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to love you. I go out in front of you, and I lead and guide you. I have your future in mind. I'm your everlasting Father. Did you know that God is the Alpha and the Omega? In Christ, He is the beginning and the end. God is unchanging. He is rock solid. He is as good as He was yesterday, as He is today, and as He will be in the future. And you and I can bank on that and on His promises. And that's the gift that we receive. Now, I love the fact that it doesn't just say everlasting God here. It says everlasting Father. Why do you think it says Father here? Now, bear with me. Maybe you've had a difficult father experience with your dad. Maybe you're in a struggle right now with your children. But for this purpose and point, God uses the concept of everlasting Father because a father's greatest responsibility is to take care of their children. Not just their children's presence, but my job as a father is to care for and provide for my children's what? Future. Their future. To set them up to have the best future possible. Don't you know that that's what Christ wants to do for you? Don't you know that that's what God wants to do for you? To set you up with the greatest future possible. He has your future in mind. And when times that you have in your life where you can't see a brighter tomorrow, simply trust God. Learn to trust God that He will care for those moments. Here's what it says in John. It says, "You may not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." That sounds like a dad, doesn't it? That sounds like a conversation I just had with my dad a couple of days ago. Right? That sounds like a conversation we had with our fathers or our parents when we were kids. Parents, that sounds like conversations we're having with our kids right now. Hey, you may not understand why this is happening, but later you will. That's what God says to you. You see, it is faith. When we have faith, we realize, why would we worry for tomorrow? What has worrying for tomorrow ever gotten you? I'll tell you what it's gotten me. Worrying for tomorrow has gotten me ulcers, it's made me cranky, and it's made me realize that I'm wasting my time. You ever blow an entire day or an entire week just worrying about something? If you have, you're in good company, because I have too. And every single one of the folk in this story that wind up in the manger do as well. God also wants you to receive this night the gift of a Prince of Peace. The gift of a Prince of Peace. Now, there was one other group of... I guess I don't need to light that again, huh? There was one other group of people that met at the manger that night, and it was the wise men. It was the wise men. And underneath here in this scripture in Matthew, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east, those are the wise men, wise guys, whatever you want to call them, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Herod called in the magi. Now Herod is basically the king at the time. He's crooked, ornery, just a nasty man. He's murderous, and he's after Jesus, and he's wanting to end Jesus' life. And so when they went in to talk to Herod, he talked to his scholars. The scholars told him where to find Jesus. He tells the wise men where to find Jesus, not only so the wise men can find Jesus, but so the wise men can come back and report to him where Jesus is so he can go and take care of business. In verse 8 it says, he sent them to Bethlehem. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. Now I know that every single one of us, guys especially, whether we admit it or not, can relate to the wise men, because there are times in our life where we think we know where we're going, but we get a little bit lost. But we don't like to admit it. You see, these wise men show up in the middle of Bethlehem. They get to the place where they know they need to be. They just need that one last piece of direction. And guys, when we get down to the nitty-gritty, we know that one last piece of direction, that's the last time we ask for something, because we know we're almost on it. And we'll drive around town for 20 minutes if we need to without asking for directions. But these guys, they do the smart thing. They ask for directions. So they're a little bit lost. They're a little bit off of their mark and off of their way. Throw in the fact that they have a ruthless king that's now after them, and they're mixing it up with a ruthless king to find Jesus. Now they're worried and fearing for their lives and whether they're going to lose their life or not. Here's what God does. God lights the way for them with a star, and that produces for them peace. Why? Because they're no longer lost. They no longer have to worry about where they're going. They realize that everything's going to be all right. And if you've ever been lost before and all of a sudden found your way, you know that feeling, that sensation that comes over your heart, that feeling of peace that you experience. And you see, it is this peace that we get from God, because God goes out in front of us every step of the way, and He leads us in our faith. When I was in college, we were on our way to a campground in Belle Fountain, Ohio, and there was three or four college students in this car, and we got lost. I mean, in the middle of nowhere, we got lost, and we pulled over to the side of the road, it was dark out. All of a sudden, this cruiser comes up behind us, flashing his lights. And I'm thinking, okay, what is this cop going to think we're doing? There's four college students sitting in this car, and we're on the side of the road, and he's probably thinking we're probably up to no good. And he walks up, long story short, he says, I know exactly where it is you need to go. I'll guide you and lead you there. So first of all, we're relieved that we're not going to be hauled off to the pokey. And secondly, now we have a guide. And so this police officer's in front of us, and he's flashing his lights. We felt like royalty following this police car. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it was the light that gave us what? Peace. A sense of peace. Why? Because we knew he knew where he was going, regardless of whether we knew where we were going. And he led us the entire way. And when that light was out in front of us, it gave us peace. It guided us. And it quelled our greatest fears. It took those fears away. Why? Because we knew that somebody that was more powerful than us, that knew more than us, that knew where we needed to be, was guiding us and leading us. And that's the star that God gives the wise men that evening. Maybe you feel like you're lost. Maybe you're here tonight and you're feeling a little bit lonely. That's what happens when we lose something. Maybe we've lost a loved one. Maybe we feel like we're going to lose our job pretty soon. Maybe we're struggling because we're losing our 401ks, or we're losing money, or whatever it is that our loss that we're experiencing. We're in the process of losing a friendship, or we're struggling with a family member. Whatever it is, that hurt or that pain, maybe we're losing our health and we're struggling with those types of things. If you're in that place, whatever storm of life you might have, understand tonight that God in Jesus Christ can give you a peaceful center in the middle of that storm. God can be that calm, cool eye in the middle of that hurricane of life that you're experiencing. God might not change your circumstances, but He can change your outlook and your perspective and your attitude on life. He did for the wise men. And He'll lead you and show you the way just like He did the wise men. And He will take you exactly where you need to be in life, just like He did for the wise men. Where was He leading the wise men to? He was leading them to Himself. And that's what God will do to you every day of your life, whether you're ready for it or not. God will pursue you, and He will guide you, and He will love you. So receive that gift tonight. There's one more gift that's not mentioned in the book of Isaiah, but Jesus says this about Himself. You can receive the gift of the light of the world if you choose to this evening and this night. And with that, we light the Christ candle as a reminder that Christ is our great light, and He is the light of the world for our greatest fears and our concerns. Here's what Scripture has to say. In John it says, when Jesus spoke, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We have a first floor master bedroom, and on the second floor of the house is where all the kids sleep. We have two young ones, and a lot of times during the night they get up crying. Well, guess what Aaron has to do, or I have to do sometimes, is to walk in the dark all the way around the first floor, up the stairs, and into the room. I'm here to tell you that I have stubbed my toe. I've stepped on toys. You ever stepped on toys barefoot? That's a fun experience when it's 4 o'clock in the morning and you're groggy, right? I've walked around and the post has hit me in places I can't tell you about on the way up the stairs. I mean, it's just been awful experiences. It's a painful experience to try to find your way in the dark. It's just a painful experience. Sisters and brothers, we do this all the time in life, whether we realize it or not. When we try to live on our own strength, in our own life, we're walking in the dark. And we stumble and we fall and we get hurt. And it's just a painful, painful experience. You see, living in the dark, living into this fearful time that we think that we're in, without a source of light that's greater than ourselves, is tough to navigate. Jesus was born for you to be your light, to see you through troubling times. You see, it is in Christ alone, that we can have our greatest fears, turn to an incredible faith. You see, that night, the only person that was without fear at the manger was who? Baby Jesus. He was filled with innocence, hope, love, and a light for the world. And everybody who discovered Him that night had their fear turn to faith. God wants to help you navigate this night through your fears. He wants to be the light for your life because God has a plan for your life. God doesn't want you to have just any ordinary life. He wants you to have a life of abundance filled with joy and hope and love, and that's found in Christ. I mean, let me just ask you an honest question tonight. When was the last time you were happy about life? When was the last time you were running for your future? The Bible tells us that when the shepherds discovered that there was good news in Christ, they were running. That they hurried off to find Christ. When was the last time we felt like that in our life about tomorrow? You see, Christ can fill your life and give you hope and joy for tomorrow. There is no doubt a gift for you this Christmas. We have been given a wonderful Counselor. We have been given a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace, and we've been given the light of the world. But you know a gift isn't a gift until it's been received. God is standing there with a gift box in His hand, and His Son is in that package, and He is wrapped really, really well, and He has His Son extended out to you. And until we reach out and grab a hold of that gift and make it a part of our life, it's not a gift. It's not been received. And the encouragement for you tonight is to make sure that you have received the gift of Christ, because that package is going to last well beyond all the presents our kids and we're going to open and our grandkids are going to open tomorrow morning, because we know that the kids are going to be bored within 3 days with what they get, right? And whatever they have that they do like beyond that is going to be broken within a week. And whatever we get as adults, we'll just take that 35th tie, Dad, and we'll hang that up on the rack and it won't ever get used again. Sisters and brothers, why not receive the gift that will last for eternity in Jesus Christ this Christmas? I think we're going to move into a time of a Holy Communion. We're going to move into a time of lighting candles tonight. We're going to be singing Silent Night. I want to invite the band to come forward. I want to invite any communion servants that we have to come forward. And we're going to break bread together. Now you might say, why would we celebrate Holy Communion on Christmas Eve? Here's the problem with our faith in God. If all we believe in is baby Jesus, then we've missed out on the reason that God came in the very first place. And so whenever we celebrate Christmas, we always have to be left in our mind the concept of Easter. You see, Christ wasn't born to be a baby. Christ was born to be a sacrifice for you and for me. And on the night that He was betrayed, He broke bread with those who were closest with Him. And he said, this is my body broken for you. And he says, as often as you eat of this, you do it in remembrance of me. He says, I'm giving you my life because I love you so much and I want a relationship with you. God acknowledged that you can't do it on your own, and I know that, and I'm here to save you. And that's the Savior that we have in our Lord, Jesus Christ. And so he distributed that bread amongst them. But he didn't stop there. You see, he grabbed a cup that evening, and he poured out wine, and we serve grape juice here. And he said, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. No more sacrifices are necessary. And he distributed that amongst them as well. I want to let you know that this is United Methodist Church, and what that means is no matter who you are, where you've been, no matter how old you are or what station of life you're in, you are all welcome to this table. You're all welcome to come forward and to go to one of two stations on either side here to tear off a piece of the bread and dip it in the cup and partake of the elements. After you do that, we want to encourage you to grab a candle and return to your seat, and we're going to sing Silent Night together. Let's go ahead and pray. God, you are so good to us. God, we give you our life. God, we trust you with our future. God, we don't know about the unknown. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. God, we want you to turn our fear into faith. And God, we thank you that you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, on this day, so that ultimately he could be the sacrifice for our sins and for our life. God, we say thank you to you and happy birthday this evening. It's in your name we give thanks. Amen. I want to go ahead and invite you to make your way down the center aisle. Go ahead and find yourself at one of these two stations. Grab the candle again and return to your seats. Would you please come? Maybe while we're standing here with these lights lit, it's become a tradition at Old Fort Church, at least on Christmas Eve, to just shout out a word or two of something you might be thankful for this year that you'd like to just celebrate. What have you been thankful for this year?
Family.
Health.
Grandchildren.
Was there another back here?
Traditions?
Friends?
Love?
Yeah.
Hope?
Church? How about Jesus Christ? As you go this evening, go in the grace and love of God, go with the hope of a Savior, and enjoy the peace that God can give us in His Son. May you have a very Merry Christmas. Amen. God bless.